I needed church today. And thank you guys for leading my heart in quality time with God. It's a good thing. If you would just bow your heads as we open the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a God who speaks into our hearts and into our lives. And I just pray that you would continue to lead our experience here today closer and closer to you. And Lord, that it would be closer and closer to each other in our families and in our church family and our community around us. Lord, you know the work that you're doing in my heart in this journey. And so I pray that you would just speak your words as we open Holy Scripture today. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes I think God just wants to make sure we know who's in charge. I would have not planned for him to touch me quite as deeply in this moment, because I think to myself, boy, I got to compose myself when maybe I would like to just sit and let God finish his business. But he knows best, doesn't he? God knows how to work in our lives. I want to talk to you a little bit about last week. If you weren't here, we began really in earnest our journey through how we speak to each other and show love. And we talked about God being love and the fact that he calls us to love each other. And we started down a journey, and I mentioned last week, if you can do whatever you can do to be here for the next few weeks, I just encourage you to make sure we travel this journey together as a church, because when you talk about how we interact as each other, as humans, that it's different, that it's significant, it's in ways that we don't do things the same, then we need to make sure that we learn how to communicate with each other and love each other in ways that God can move us forward closer to his kingdom. And you can't do that all in one Sabbath or one sermon or a little snippet. So just I guess my next little plug is make sure you can come the next few weeks, because this is just a piece of a journey. So a little bit of review from last week. Last week we talked about words of affirmation. Not all of us need that, but some of us do. Some of us can kind of move along through life. We don't need people to pat us on the back, so to speak. In fact, we're a little more comfortable if you don't. And if you do, it's a little uncomfortable for us. But for some of us, it's important to hear words of affirmation. We talked about affirmation, words of encouragement being words that inspire courage. And we talked about how Jesus did that with the woman who touched the hem of his garment, where it was just sort of this silent interaction, but yet Jesus stopped and took notice and spoke into her life and said, "Your faith has made you whole." And we spent quite a bit of time on that, talking about how Jesus took the time to engage with her and say, "You matter," verbally speak words of encouragement to her, saying, "Take courage, your faith has made you well." That Jesus really took the time to stop and say, "You matter, I love you, I noticed, you did good, I'm proud of you." He inspired courage in her, where she had been timid. Just all she could do was to touch the hem of his garment, hopefully unnoticed. Jesus stopped and said, "No. Let me speak words of life into your heart." If you remember, we went to Proverbs. We don't have it on the screen, but if you had your Bible, or you can just listen to me, but we read from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city." So it's better to say good words than bad words, because once offense takes place, it's harder to win back than a strong city, the writer says. Verse 20 says, "With the fruit of a man's mouth, his mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips." And then we read verse 21, really kind of zeroed in on it. "Death and life are in the power of the" what? Do you remember? "Of the tongue." We flipped back just a couple of pages to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. And it says this, very simply, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. But a good word makes it" what? "Makes it glad." But a good word makes it glad. I want to also remind us that we talked about the concept of the love tank. That when sort of there's this level of fullness in a person's life where we're able to live at optimum performance, it's sort of the full love tank. I talked about journey with a friend of mine who had anaphylactic shock. In other words, his allergic exposure was to the point where it overflowed in a dramatic response from his body and took a 90-plus mile-an-hour ride to the hospital in an ambulance because he'd lost blood pressure. And we talked about it being kind of the same thing, that when we live at a full place in our lives, emotionally fed and loved by those around us and by God, we live at a level of performance that wouldn't be possible otherwise. In fact, I think it'd be good for us to turn to Luke chapter 6, just to talk about this for a moment. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And it's kind of interesting what the Bible says here. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. We talked about the fact that in language, in linguistics, we know it's pretty straightforward, simple, that when we want to communicate with someone who speaks a different language than ours, we try to learn their language so that we can communicate. However, in the emotional realm, it seems like we get that all twisted around and backwards to where if we want to communicate with someone we love, our spouse, our child, our parent, coworker, we expect them to speak in our language, and we get it turned around. What's interesting is that God says here that the way we interact with others will be the way that they will interact with us in return. What we give is what we will receive. So when you talk about investing in someone's life in a response, a love language which they understand, you think, wow, this is all give. What about me? Interestingly, the scripture principle is that what you give, you will return. And I just challenge you to try it out with those who you love. Try it out and see if it's true, if scripture holds true. I believe it does. In fact, there's a little bit of sort of intonation about the love tank to me in this scripture where God says, by the way, it's going to be like you're clear full. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. It's going to be a full experience for you. Last week we focused on Jesus and his affirmation and his words of encouragement, take courage. This week I want to take us to sort of the beginning of the book, Genesis chapter 3. So if you would turn with me there, Genesis chapter 3. This is a portion of scripture we will sort of land in this morning. Give you a little bit of context. Creation has just happened by the power of the Word of God. And if you want to take an imagination journey, just think a little bit of what it must have been like when God set out to create you and I. Contemplate the biblical narrative of how things came to be, origins, where God spoke and poof, it happened. Like the world came into existence. Where life had not been, there was now life. And where there had not been color or light, now there was. And what's interesting to me is that even in the creation scenario, you find a few words of encouragement. God sits back and it's almost kind of cute because it's God wanting to set the stage and he starts to say things like, that's very good. He creates the animals and he says, that's good. He creates Adam. By the way, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in that creation story. We'll talk about it in the journey ahead of us because we're going to talk about physical touch. I think it's significant that the creation story, God takes his own hands and forms man of the dust and breathes into his nostrils. I mean, this whole physical touch thing is right in the creation story where God says, this is a hands-on deal, not a detached God. Not far away. We'll get into that next journey. But God forms man of the dust of the earth, and man becomes a living soul, and God says, words of affirmation. It's good. I'm proud of you. I am proud of you, God says. Very good. God does the whole thing with Adam, puts him to sleep, takes a rib out, creates Eve, and Eve is a living, talking, breathing, human being capable of love and interaction. And God says it's really good. By the way, just a little bit of something. We have no timeline in this scenario. We know that Adam named the animals, according to the account, before Eve came into the picture. So Adam was doing this thing of Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe, Mr. and Mrs. Gopher, Mr. and Mrs. all the way down the line, and pretty soon he's like, Mr. Adam, and what's up? And I imagine God walking through the garden with Adam as he names the animals. And Adam's like, whoa, where'd you come up with that idea, God? And God's like, well, let me tell you a little bit about it. Don't you think the stripes are cool? I mean, you have horses, but then there's zebras where there's, you know, it breaks it up a little bit, don't you think? And Adam and God had this quality time aspect in that scenario. And I believe that God didn't wake Adam up immediately after he created Eve. I think he went for a walk with his girl. So let me show you around. Let me look at this. Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe and Mr. Gopher. And don't you like the colors and breaks up? Kind of makes a horse look cool. It's called a zebra. And Eve goes through this really cool time with God where God spends time with her, shows her around, and she goes through the process. Mr. and Mrs. And Mrs. and huh. And then God says, well, let me show you something. I've been kind of holding out because I wanted us time. And he wakes up Adam, and there's that really great time with the two of them. And then the tragic story of the fall takes place, where Adam and Eve take the words of the serpent above and for more value than the words of God. And you know the story. The fruit is eaten, and awareness happens, and that's where I want us to land in chapter 3, verse 8. We'll look at verse 7 first. I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse 7 of Genesis. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loin coverings. What you find here is Adam and Eve having an awareness of being in contrary to God, and they are preparing for what they know is coming. In other words, they didn't just say, oh man, we messed up. But there's this activity that takes place because something's going to happen. They know it's coming. They know it's happening. In other words, they don't say to themselves, well, God's up in heaven and probably won't notice anyway. Let's just pretend like nothing happened. There's an awareness that our first parents had that God was going to arrive soon. So they began to scurry around and try to fix the problem that had taken place with them. And the very next verse, verse 8, says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? The picture we have here is that God regularly spent quality time with his kids. They knew it was coming. It was like clockwork. God's coming to spend time with us. We better try to fix what's taken place here and the fig leaves and all of that stuff. But the point that I really want us to understand is that God's custom, his habit, what he did regularly, was spent time with his kids in a quality interaction, interest in each other. In fact, I love the way, I mean, when you start putting the word picture together, they heard God, which is a sensory interaction. I mean, there's sound and volume and inflection that's taking, they heard God moving in the garden. They heard him. It's this time with God was interactive. Walking. In other words, they would take walks in the garden. I like this. As a guy, I think that we do best doing time centered around some type of activity. I mean, try to get two guys together for a meaningful conversation. At least in my experience, it's a little awkward and takes a little bit of time to get going. But if you've got some type of task going on, like loading a truck or moving something from here to there or fixing something. Oh man, time flies and guys can hang out for several hours together and walk away saying, I had a great time. So there's this walking, there's this word picture of activity taking place. Quality time is not something that is stale, stagnant, and devoid of activity. There's walking that's happening. I really love the fact that it makes a point. You know, Genesis is quite cryptic in its descriptions, but this seems to be quite clear. They heard him, he's walking, and it's in the garden. It gives us a context, which seems to bring to my mind the fact that if we're going to spend quality time with each other or with God, it takes a little bit of planning. It takes a little bit of context. Garden, climate, and environment are important for quality time. The other thing that really stands out to me is that it was in the cool of the day. I mean, really, when you think of a pleasant experience, think of a beautiful garden, the cool of the day, people you love, and time to spend with each other. That's the picture that God had in mind for us. And I think it's really important for us to look at this and say, okay, so when we say, okay, people's love language, some of us speak in quality time. In other words, words of affirmation don't really help that much. Physical touch isn't that big of a deal for me. But man, if you really value who I am, then let's spend time together. God says, here it is. There's going to be interaction, ladies. This hearing and talking, it's not just sitting and staring at each other. Quality time means that there's interaction. Guys, there's walking. There's activity that takes place in quality time. You're not just going to stare at each other and think, But you'll be able to do things. Quality time means activity. It also means context, pleasant surroundings, the garden. One of the things that Delinda does for us on Friday nights is we have this really sort of, Katie and Ashley call it fancy night, because there's candles on the table, and it's a special tablecloth, and the nicer dishes are on the table, and we eat cornbread with this really cool gravy that's on there, and smoothies, and that's just what we do. Well, they do it every Friday night. I'm there as much as I can, and I hate it when I miss, because I miss it, because it's just this, there's something special about the context. And Jesus, God, did that for Adam and Eve, and it became a pleasant experience. Quality time. Let me say this, if you're taking notes, a definition of quality time with someone you love is time focused on each other. So you might be doing some activity, you might be seeing some beautiful garden, you might be talking about, but the idea is that it's focused on each other. So if you want to spend quality time with your kids, it's quite simple. In other words, last week we said, hey, words of affirmation, it's not that complicated. It's words that inspire courage. Oh, quality time is not that complicated either. It's simply time focused on the person you love. So if you want to spend time with your kids, make sure they know that you're focused on them more than on the activity. That's really important for me to understand, because I can get sucked into activities pretty quick. Some of you who know me will say, yep, he does. And so for me to maintain focus on the people I love is really important. Let me talk to you a little bit about, by the way, time focused on each other, quality time. Those of you who have the sort of the love language, you're wired for quality time, you understand it. Some of us who can maybe do without it don't understand it quite as well. I say to Delinda, what do you want to do? And she thinks, hang out. It's interesting. I'm learning from her and her good friend, Lindsay Pratt. Many of you know Lindsay Pratt. Somehow, the two of them, I mean, not somehow, the two of them are good friends. They're good friends. It's not a mystery. But they both have decided, wow, I think our love language is quality time. They said it out loud, which I think was important for me to hear somehow. They'd had this conversation. So you will find Delinda and Lindsay just hanging around with each other. Like, I'll come home, if Lindsay's in town, I'll come home, and there's, like, laundry being folded or sitting on the couch, like, not really doing anything. And I think, well, why don't you go do something fun? I'll find them often going down to Fresno and going grocery shopping, which to me, I think to myself, you know, I'll try to work it out so that you guys can go train for a triathlon or whatnot. But the deal is that they're just hanging out with each other, and it's quality time. I need to learn some of those lessons and learn how to do that better. Relax about trying to figure out how to do everything or touch or words of affirmation and be with those I love. This whole thing about quality time, I think, is another, there's a real important component to it. And that is that you're creating memories. You're creating memories. Quality time creates memories. In fact, be intentional about it with those who you love. And be intentional about it with God. When you are on a journey of getting closer to Him, go places that you'll remember. Think of the times where the children of Israel had these real significant times with God, real dramatic experiences with Him, like going across the Red Sea, like being saved from armies, those kinds of things. One of the deals that you'll find is that they pile up rocks. They called them Ebenezers. In other words, they marked a memory for their children. In fact, God said, when your kids come by this and ask what happened, you'll be able to tell them the story. You'll find Abraham, when God interacted in his life in a significant way, he built an altar. Jacob did the same thing. Isaac did the same thing. They built memories of the times that had been most significant with God and with their families. And I believe that we should create memories with our friends, our families, our coworkers. It's important to create memories. In fact, this last week, my sister gave to my parents this Christmas birthday sort of present she's been working on for the last couple months. And it's, is it five or six, hon? Six? Seven. Seven big photo albums. Karen has cleaned off her computer from the last probably about 8 years of our family's life together, our kids growing up and born and all that stuff and trips we've taken with mom and dad. And she's printed them all off, hundreds of pictures, and put them, because my parents aren't really computer people. And so she's put all of these pictures in these big photo albums and written in dates and times and places and names and activities. And my parents, she comes in with this box. This is just, my dad's birthday was this last week. Karen comes into our house with this box of albums. And Delinda and I, all of us, started going through these pictures. And I'm telling you, stuff just came rushing back of times that I had forgotten, memories that are precious, time that we had spent together, and I realized that there was just this precious archive. It was a memory bank. And the coolest part about memories, or maybe I'll just put it in a better vernacular, the most significant aspect of building memories is that I really believe memories are like quality time in a bottle. Because life gets busy. Life changes. Dynamics adjust. Delinda and I have been married 9 years now. When we first got married, our life is very different than our life is now because we have three kids and all sorts of other things going on in our lives. So where we used to be able to spend time with each other in ways that we aren't able to facilitate now, I find that it's interesting. Delinda and I will be sitting around, or we'll be laying in bed at night, and we'll say, hey, remember when such and such? Remember when we... And one of us will invariably say, oh yeah, that was a really good time. And we just had sort of concentrated, for me at least, concentrated quality time in a bottle because of a memory that we had created through quality time experiences with each other. Remember that mission trip? Remember, oh man, you know, just this week I said to Delinda, hey, remember this girl Carrie? And anyway, one of our friends had run into her and it took us back to before our kids were born, and we were running around in youth ministry full throttle, and Delinda and I were like, oh man, she was really fun, and we shared this memory, this investing in people's life, quality time. I really believe that quality time, when you're intentional about building memories with the people you love, is like time in a bottle. And it's the same thing with God. If you have significant experiences, time with God, if you go back to those places, if you revisit those times in your mind, you will find that it's like concentrated quality time in a bottle. I can tell you that in Bakersfield, there's a stairway that goes from the upper part of the campus to the lower part of the campus. It's just this random concrete stair. But I lived in the same house there for almost 9 years, and when ministry would get heavy, or when things would be taking place in my life, or God was really teaching me hard lessons, I would go down. Wasn't all the time, but it was probably two or three times a month. I'd be down on that stairway late at night, and God That was a place where God met with me over and over again. And I can just tell you that if I were to go to Bakersfield and sit on those concrete stairs at night and watch the stoplights change and cars go by and the field in front of me, it wouldn't just be that moment for me. It'd be concentrated time with God in a bottle, because he had built memories for me in that place. And there's other times and places in my life that I could just kind of take you through and say that if I go out on Rancheria Road, there's a pullout, and it's out under the stars, and you're away from the city, and I did a lot of sort of focus on sermons and scripture in that turnout in my truck. I'm just telling you, I have driven through Bakersfield on my way to places, Delinda will tell you, and I've driven out of my way to go be at that turnout out on that dirt road. It's probably about a half hour out of off of Highway 99, but I've stopped there, got out of my truck, walked down that dirt road kind of by the cattle stalls there. It's kind of a remote cattle grazing area. And God's done something in my heart, and it happens quicker, more effectively, deeper, because of the times that God and I have shared in that place. And it's memories built and time shared. So I really believe that part of quality time is not only focused on each other, but it's also a time and a place and a context and building memories so that we have that time in a bottle scenario. If you think I'm talking Greek this morning and you don't know what I'm talking about, and you're just like, this is kind of weird, then I would just challenge you to try it. Because some of us know that this is real. And some of us have traveled that journey before. So if you kind of think, wow, today's sermon's kind of off, then I would just challenge you, build some memories with God. And then go back in time and open that bottle and see. If not, it's more concentrated. If you haven't intentionally built memories with your family or with your spouse, your friends, then do it. And then just sort of open that bottle by saying, hey, remember when ... and see. But I believe it's really significant. In fact, I believe that's why in Exodus chapter 25, Jesus, God, says to his people, his chosen people, let them build me a sanctuary so that I might dwell among them. By the way, God is not just a God who's content with a nightly walk in the garden. But if you read through Scripture, you will find that over and over again, God is about spending quality time every moment, every day with you and me. And so with the children of Israel, even though the fall had happened and the garden had been, you know, was a place they could no longer access because of the tree of life, because dynamics had changed because of sin, God still said, my point is that I want to be with you. I want to dwell among you. I don't want to be a God that's detached. I want to be a God who's invested, who's involved. And by the way, if you're interacting with your family, know that we are a picture of God to our children, to those around us. And that should be the picture that we share with them of God and of our love too. God says, let him build a sanctuary so I might dwell among them. Also, have you ever, well, you have heard of this because you're here. Have you ever heard about Sabbath? The fourth commandment? A special day of worship? Sonia, oh, wow. By the way, God says, I want a day every week where there's no question. It's us time. And God says, in fact, I know how life goes. I know the way schedules get. I know pressures of work, education, all of those things. So it's so significant that I will word it in the form of a command. It's us time. Don't touch it. Off limits. Me and you. I mean, this quality time. I mean, Jesus took time to speak words of affirmation to the lady who touched the hem of his garment. But all through Scripture, you find God saying, quality time is a really, really big deal when it comes to love. And he's really clear that it's a big deal between us and him. And the model of the family and all of that says, by the way, it's a big deal in your interaction with each other. Spend time with each other. So by the way, when you come to church, God's intent is not for you to try to sit as segregated and separate as you can from each other. Because Scripture says, don't let them forsake the assembling of themselves together, especially as you see the day approaching, especially as the coming of Jesus is coming near. Hang out with each other more. That's Steve Hamilton's paraphrase. And so when we come to church, it's not just about coming here and spending time with God, but it's about spending time with each other. That's the whole fellowship deal. It's not just a weird Christian colloquium term. It's really a reality that God wants. He wants us to be able to come and spend time with each other in a way where we say, my love tank has been filled this week. Because let's face it, some of you don't get this during the week in your family scenarios. So God gifts us with that here. Some of us, by the way, we may have some of that quality time with God, family, going on in a greater way. Let us not forget that maybe we're sitting next to someone who needs some quality time today. I'm not talking theory this morning. I'm saying that when you walk out the doors this morning, there's probably someone that God can cross paths with you who, if you take a little bit of time before you jump in your car and leave today, or before you go down and get your plate of food, spend some time, quality time with each other in church. That's why God designed it this way. Quality time is a big deal. By the way, it might be some time in a bottle. Hey, remember that time we met randomly after pastor said, try to talk to someone in the foyer? And a beautiful friendship happens in the next 3 years. You can pay me later. Not really. My mind was almost quick enough to say, don't say that, but it... By the way, Jesus came to earth to show us that love is about spending time with each other. When Jesus came to show what was important to the heart of God, he came and spent time, real, literal time with us. And because of the dynamics of the incarnation, the sacrifice, and all those things, he said, by the way, it's going to be a good deal for me to leave, because then God, I mean, we're getting deep theologically, God can spend time with all of you at the same time, so the Holy Spirit is a gift in my place. Because Jesus says, this whole God-man identification thing has kind of, you can study it out with me later or someone here, but the whole thing is that Jesus says, time is so important. It's a big deal about me going back to my Father, because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can dwell in each heart all the time, wherever you are. So the Holy Spirit has been given as our gift. It's this time gift. By the way, God speaks much about eternity. Guess what eternity is? This is very deep. It's a lot of time. Like, people try to explain it and they say, well, we look at time like on a calendar. God takes it and looks like it's through a tube. That's eternity. Or we try to find a timeline and say, well, if you take our little minute 70 years here on this earth, if we're lucky, a few plus or minus 70 years, and you take that and stack it up against a never-ending eternity, like it keeps going and going and going and going. And then God kind of fries our brain a little bit more by saying, by the way, I've always been, so you can look as always. And so God says this eternity thing is a really big deal. In fact, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world to spend time with us, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life with me. In other words, God says, time is a big deal to the loving heart of God. And so, by the way, for those of us who may not be really wired for the whole quality time thing, we should take that as God's direct instruction to say, make it a big deal in your families. Make it a big deal with your time with God. Make it a big deal in your investment in church, because time is a big deal to God. He spent it in the garden with Adam and Eve. He did the build me a sanctuary thing with his chosen people. He sent his Son to spend time, real time, with us. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to be there always with you. And the whole thing is so that eternity can happen for you and those you love. Eternity. That's a lot of time. So, this morning, I'd like to say two things. God really, really wants to spend time with you. How much have you been spending with Him? Really, quality time with God. And I'm not even really talking about the devotion thing of, well, I got my 15-minute reading in today. I'm just saying, how's your heart been with God in a quality, spend time, create memories, treasure each other's company, time with God? Because God, all through Scripture, says, I really, really want to spend time with you. So, number one, God wants to spend time with you. Will you focus on Him this week? Will you carve out time to spend with God? And number two is that if you do, He will drive you to invest in others. And so there are those in your life who need some of your time this week. If God made it a point to regularly come to the Garden of Eden, to say, build me a sanctuary in the wilderness, for Jesus to become man and walk the dusty streets of Galilee, to leave behind the Holy Spirit always, because it's all about eternity, a lot of time, then shouldn't time rise on the scale of importance for us and the those we love? So spend time with God this week. Spend time with each other. The great thing is you can multitask and do both of them at the same time. Some. Spend quality time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and all of the things that you have given to us in love. And so today I simply ask that you would raise in our awareness this week the importance of quality time with you and with those we love. Help us not to forget words of affirmation, encouraging words. Help us not to neglect the other ways we show love. But this week, would you focus us a bit more on time? In the precious name of Jesus, who's given His time for us. Amen.